on the slab soon enough.
Welcome, welcome to another episode of The Slab. Woo! Today's episode, we were going to do a full dissection of the Black Phone, but somebody didn't do the research. I'm not going to name any names.
Hi.
Bob. Yes, Bob. Today on this episode, instead, we are going to do B-movies. Just B-movies, just talking about our favorite ones, how certain ones got made, and what their budgets were, and how they became an icon in the horror movie genre. Like, you can't be a horror movie fan and not love a B-movie.
Oh, it's a requirement.
And in the studio today, we have Josh, Bobby, and Chris.
Hello.
Back to a full panel, and I'm happy.
Yay.
Sorry, I had to work.
Lame.
I know.
Anyway,
hello.
Okay, so I'm going to pose the first question. How important were B-movies to horror?
Like what Josh said earlier, they're essential.
They are essential. And I'm assuming you want us to elaborate on that.
Yes!
Okay.
They're right. Good.
Okay. They're good. I like them. Okay. All right, so why they're so important is hard-hitting Hollywood horror movies are cool and all, but sometimes they lack a certain scare. And I've seen B-class movies that can put more fear into you than most Hollywood movies. So I think they're important because you get a lot more takes on horror with B-class because there's so many. You've got so many different directors out there. And no, they're not going to be all winners, but there are some that are just absolute killers of you. It leaves you wondering, why the fuck was this shit not in theaters and spoken of more? You know
right.
What I'm saying?
I completely agree.
I like it with the, there's more of a realness to it.
Yeah.
Like, you can actually see that shit happening. Like you said, if you were to, you know, some big Hollywood, you know, been ramped up for the past 6 months.
Not only that, but B-movies have given us our favorite killers.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th was a B-movie.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It was made for less than $1 million. And it was shot in like 28 days.
But it caught that notoriety.
Yeah, it caught like fucking wildfire. Puppet Master is a B-movie.
Reanimator is one.
Now there's like 15 fucking Puppet Masters. I have no clue how many there are, but there's a lot.
I fucking love Puppet Master.
For me, it's entertainment. I'm more entertained watching B-flicks
than
whatever Hollywood wants to be like, hey, this good movie. I'm like,
nah, for me,
nah.
Fam.
Nah, I'll pass. I'm good, dog.
But no, it's like, you're not going to see a Hollywood fucking made horror movie with the premise of Frankenhooker.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to see it with the premise of, definitely, you know, Reanimator, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see it with the same premise as Society or Basket Case or any of those awesome, like, Brian Yuzna schlocky fucking films. You're not going to see any of that. And that's what makes it more important.
Yeah. I mean, you can see it with the Ice Cream Man, but there was a whole separate take
that
they had
movie
on it. Yeah, every Phantasm.
Every Phantasm movie. B-rated, but they're so good.
And
it's because a lot of these B-rated, these not
they
only
just don't give a fuck at that point. They're I'm going to make this movie how I want to make it. Just to get it out there.
Like,
right?
How many
the epitome
good
of independent films.
Yeah.
Like, indie films.
Like, how many good directors and good fucking writers there are out there that got slept on?
Right.
And they did something like this, which is obviously something for passion. I mean, there is a reverse role to that, too, because some people do make B-horror movies just for easy money.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But a lot of them are made from passion and love, and you can tell which ones those are. Like, they're B-movie, but they gave a shit about what they were
filming.
Isn't
the editor...
Yeah, the editor is a B movie.
And the way that's done, like, it is amazing how they did that.
Galeo films are technically B movies.
Yes.
And Galeo films are bright, and vivid, fucked up, and bloody.
And who doesn't love a good Galeo film? I mean.
Well, we've been talking about somebody else, and I'm be really cool if you actually listen to us talk about him, because I personally love everything he's done. But Adam Green.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Probably, I mean, love everything Adam Green's done. Even, even Hatchet 3.
I'm sure even Hatchet 3. I love all of it. But even with the budget he has, he makes amazing movies. Now, just imagine if somebody gave him, like, oh, I don't know, $10 million to make a fucking horror movie.
Well, like, oh, that'd be off the chain.
With his twisted mind and comedic, you know, sidetracking with his movies, it would probably be one of the best horror slash comedy movies anyone's ever seen.
Well, not only that, but did you know that Adam Green wrote and directed Frozen?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, he's got Disney money. He's he can fund his own shit.
Has Adam Green and Clive Barker done anything together?
No.
No, they need to.
No.
Are you sure Adam Green's done the Disney movie Frozen? Because he has a movie called Frozen about people that get stuck on a ski lift.
Yeah, no, he did Frozen.
He had a hand in it, at least.
I don't know, because I've only seen, like, Frozen once, because the kids watched it, and I didn't
lucky.
But I have
two girls. I live off that shit.
Adam Green really impresses me.
Yeah, if you type in Adam Green Frozen, it pops up with the ski lift movie.
Yeah.
Instantly.
I may be wrong. I'm hoping I am wrong.
It would be very weird, but he is a very talented person, as I said. And I'm not joking or nothing. I'm just saying. If you had a hand in writing the Disney Frozen movie, it'd be badass. Just think like a picture.
Yeah, it wasn't the Disney Frozen
just
movie.
A little clip of Victor Crowley in the fucking woods just picking up. What's up? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Sven.
Oh, look, you have been impaled.
Plot twist, Jason's actually the ice giant.
No, okay, I was wrong. It was a different Frozen. Yeah, it was that one where the
I just wanted to be sure, because if you listen, I just want us to have our facts straight first. But
if anything is going to be straight, let it be that.
So, what are your feelings towards, like, the dry, like, dialect and dry humor? That B-class has.
Oh.
Like, do you find it...
How dry are we talking?
I'm going to tell you how dry I'm thinking. Just let me find the damn name of it.
Like, I'm talking monotone.
Clear eyes. Wow.
Yeah. Like, if anybody's seen... I was talking about earlier, if anybody's seen Fatal Exam.
Yeah.
Like, that is monotone. You could tell that was a high school film project. It was horrible.
It's all about entertainment for me. That's been said on this podcast several times.
Okay.
I'm just the idiot who finds most anything entertaining, except for one movie. We're not going to talk about it.
So, the driest B-class horror movie I've ever seen, and I think that it was purposely meant to be this dry, but it's a zombie movie called Dead Before Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
Christopher Lloyd's in that.
Yeah.
And Iggy Pop's in it. A few other, I mean, I wouldn't even say B-class names, just older names.
Right.
But it was so dry and the dialogue was so dull that I think that was their dry humor take on it, that we're going to make this the dullest movie about zombies that we can.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be boring as shit. There was not really much excitement in that movie. But I think that was on purpose. But still, that was a very dry movie.
That's what I like about the editor and the way it was filmed.
Yeah, I told you the editor was edited poorly.
Yeah,
as the joke of the film,
I made the horrible mistake of getting stupid high Me and too. Then watching it in the dark.
Yeah.
Like, completely in the dark, and I think I restarted it and backed up, like, 6 different times before I said fuck it and accepted that my TV was just broke.
No, but The Editor is a fantastic B-movie in the style of a Galeo film. One of my favorite Bs, gotta say it. It was made in 2015, so it's typically recent. But still, oh my god. Like, the jokes were on fucking point. The editing's funny as hell. The storyline made no goddamn sense. And I loved it.
Yeah, we're real big sluts for shit that don't make sense.
Society good
being a good one.
Yeah, society's a good one.
What would you like in your tea?
Sugar.
About every five minutes of watching that movie were, what the fuck?
Yep, Society, I love that movie.
So, did any of you guys ever have, like, the DirecTV or satellite, and it had that, like, FearNet?
Yeah, FearNet, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So there was a show on that called Fear Itself.
Yep!
I bought the box set. That right there, for being a TV show... And I would consider it a B-class horror, but it's a TV show, and it's very, very, very entertaining. It can be gory at some points and psychological. I guess if you're going to say it compares to anything that would be A-list right now, it'd be like American Horror Story to a point.
Yeah.
But it goes way beyond that. None of the stories are connected.
Throw it at him.
I'm not going to throw a blunt at Josh. That'd be terrible. No, Bob.
No. It wouldn't burn too bad.
I don't want to burn you. That's not the fucking point. You just skip over the burning.
It's going to hold it in and seal the smoke in for later.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's better.
You want to hit this shit?
Yeah, fucking scary movie. Is a B movie. I don't care what you say.
Oh, yes.
But it's amazing, though.
Stan Helsing is another one of those parody beasts.
Yeah,
that I fucking laughed way too hard at Stan Helsing. It became one of my favorite parody B movies.
So would you say A Haunted House, the 1 and 2 with Wayans?
Yeah, the Wayans. Yeah.
Would you consider that a B class?
Yeah,
definitely. I guess it's not technically all horror, but. If you were easily scared by Paranormal Activity, some parts of that movie might scare the fuck out of you.
It's the same thing with Meet the Blacks, the Purge parody with Mike Epps.
You know, I've been debating watching that. I guess I'm going to have to now.
Oh, yeah, I love too. It. It's amazing.
So for me,
I love Mike Epps.
It is amazing.
One of the best B-class movies has an A-lister in it.
What?
Fucking zombie strippers.
Zombie strippers.
Yeah.
And has
Robert Englund as a strip club owner. And he is what's it called when you're terrified of germs, like phobia style?
Germophobia.
Yeah, he's a germophobic. I can't speak. But he's terrified of germs. Hand sanitizer everywhere. Works in a sleazy ass strip club. It's fucking great. It's B class.
That sounds like Mr. Humberflu from Cat
clean.
In the Hat.
Come on now.
Like, I like how he just insinuates that all strip clubs are dirty.
That seems
a bit biased,
sin.
Bud.
Oh, their houses. Did you really just walk up into my house and just say they're houses of sin?
Yes.
Wait. What's one of your goals in life?
Which one are you trying to remind me of?
Don't you want to snort coke off of a stripper's ass in Vegas?
Yeah.
House of Sin, right? Yeah.
It's okay, everybody. We support all types of work boots.
I will help make that happen.
We accept both kinds of work boots around here.
Both high heeled.
Steel toed and high heeled.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot of the B movies that we love.
Yeah.
Let's go to the other side.
Okay.
B movies that you don't love. Shouldn't love.
Oh, I got this one.
This is going to be difficult for me because Like how Josh is with found footage. That's my cup of tea.
And if I'm not into it, like I shut it off 10 minutes into it because I'm like I can already tell with the dialogue I'm not gonna like this shit.
Right.
It's just the it's just the same fucking story told the same with different fucking names, different fucking people.
the witch from under the sea, I think, is what it's called. or the witch from the sea or something like that.
Oh yeah,
it's on Shudder.
Yeah, I remember I started watching that, and I was like, yeah, this sucks.
Yeah, I got like 5 minutes into there and couldn't do it.
Has anybody watched For the Sake of Vicious?
Yes.
Dude, I don't know why it's on Shudder, but then I started thinking about it. I'm like, that could be someone's worst fear. I mean, that dude took a claw hammer to the fucking eyeball.
Yeah.
And he kept coming. This casual and shit. It's pretty. That was a pretty rough movie.
Oh, the fear of... constantly just
okay
getting
so,
hurt
I guess
or, yeah
like
what that was insinuate
a bad B movie Thanksgiving.
I loved those.
There's always that fucking one.
I guess now I'm ashamed I haven't seen him.
Amount of humor for me though.
Okay, Thanksgiving 2 or Thanksgiving 3 I should say.
Oh yeah, because
Yeah. Thanksgiving 3.
Sharknado 12.
Oh god! Yeah, any of the fucking Sharknado, fuck them all.
No.
If you go worst. On if you go on Peacock,
I'm not.
There is a movie called Velocipastor.
Yeah, I saw. Yes, I seen that.
It is amazing.
It's not though.
I got a good holiday B class horror that's kind of just. I mean, if you like weird creatures and stuff like that, and human morphing into those weird creatures, Jack Frost.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
No.
Dude, they had to fucking kill him in that fucking antifreeze and that. I'm like, oh my god, that's such a good idea.
No, I'm still looking at that like, hey, you're still like underwater and you're under antifreeze yourself. Like, you're breathing that shit in. You're going to die too. Just oh, yeah. Not right now.
Yay, movie logic.
So, the worst beat for me has to be Terrifier.
I never
for
seen
the
it.
For one reason. We've talked about several times on this fucking cast.
I think we talked about. I think it was on the second.
I think we've
episode.
Talked about it almost every episode.
Yeah, because fuck that movie. Yeah. That's why. But
we
you
make,
know
we
what?
Make a, we make a point to diss that movie.
I'll say it right now. I'll watch Terrifier any day of the week over Slacks.
I've never seen Slacks either.
I love me some Slacks.
No. No. Why do you have such bad taste? You got the Rona. Your taste is obviously gone, sir.
I love the shitty movies. We know this. I find the most entertainment in them.
No, but that was not entertaining.
It was for me.
Okay. I mean, fair enough. It entertained you. It gave me entertainment through bashing it, I guess is what I can say about it.
Like, it is a very bad movie.
Oh,
like,
fucking terrible.
Bottom 100 easy, but it's still entertaining, and I love bringing it up because it makes you guys cringe.
Oh god,
I've never seen it.
You need to watch it.
Apparently, everybody else has fucking seen it.
Motherfucker, y'all got my Shudder.
Like, is it on there? Is Slacks on there?
Yeah, that's where we watched it. Yeah,
I'll have to fucking watch it.
SLAXX.
Oh god.
Hell, I did. I googled some B just to refresh in myself real quick, and Slacks is on the list.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, turns out Rocky Horror Picture Show is a B movie.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was
my favorite
yeah.
for me right there.
Anything? Okay, so I think a B class movie can be like really wrangled into anything taboo at the time when it come to like horror movies in the 70s and 80s. So I think every horror movie was almost a B-class fucking horror movie
because
it wasn't a popular genre. It was like something you could go and sit at the drive-thru and make out with your boyfriend or girlfriend, you know?
I was actually getting ready to say the exact same thing.
I mean, for real.
That horror was born through B-movies because horror wasn't seen as a serious cinematic genre.
Exactly.
And so there was always the B side. That's where the B comes from.
When did it really start getting like... I guess like, famous like A class, A list.
80s?
No, 50s? No. 30s.
Well, I was Googling B tier anyways, and one of the suggestions was B horror movies in the 50s.
Oh no, B movie. No, it starts off like we're talking old school, like Dracula, Creature from not. Creature
are you
from
talking
Dracula.
When it like started?
Yeah, like
well,
that.
Okay, I'm talking,
yeah.
I'm talking
because that
our,
made.
I'm talking
Universal.
Our generation. When did horror become popular? Because
oh,
at
man.
One point in time, it was a very unpopular genre. And then all of a sudden...
I'd have to say, honestly, I hate to say it, but during the grunge era is when it started gaining some serious traction.
Yeah.
Because then you started getting those more thematic horror movies. Like, the more outside the box, that's where it started blooming. And now we have horror movies, aside from Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
You know, winning fucking Oscars left and right.
Right.
Because they're just, you know, that awesome of a genre now. They're just that much creativity behind it. So if it wasn't for that B-roll, we wouldn't have this creativity here.
Yeah.
So B-movies you have to pay homage to, because even though they're still going down a paved road, they're still helping pave it as well. Because today's B-movie could be tomorrow's blockbuster.
Right.
So
I don't understand why more people weren't into like Grave Encounters 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Because honestly, for what it was as a B-class horror movie, it was fucking amazing. The graphics were amazing. The storyline was fucking hella amazing and psychologically fucked with you. Because it's like, especially in the second one, when they were packing up at the fucking hotel. Like, we got out, yes. And then when the elevator opens in that tunnel, dude... I couldn't imagine being on that fucking elevator. I'd just be like, you know, just fucking kill me now. I wouldn't even want to have to fucking deal with all that. That's a lot of anxiety right there. Having to get off that fucking elevator. That had me like, whoa. It was cool. Like,
fuck.
I wouldn't want to have to go back to it.
No, those are fantastic fucking movies.
Oh, yeah.
And they actually, that was the, besides like, before the Babadook, like I always find that fucking movie that unsettles me, and then I just obsess about it.
The Babadook.
Before the Babadook, it was Grave Encounters. Unfucking settled
me.
The first one unsettled me, because and then I instantly watched the second one directly after that, because I had to. It was on Netflix, and I had to, and I didn't have anything else to fucking do that night.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So mind you, I watched it by myself.
Yeah.
Like in my old apartment. Motherfucker, the first one, they just kept opening doors in the same hallway. You saw the medium get his neck snapped. I'm like, and it just set me on edge. And the second one just made me even more on edge.
Right.
Because there's that whole, like, paradoxical time travel loop in it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, God. That stuck with me. I'm like, I will promote that fucking movie to the day I die.
Then you
can flash jump up to the fucking Babadook. That was another movie that got me like a motherfucker.
Yeah, I remember the first time I watched the Babadook. It was at my dad's house. And it would scare me so much. I grabbed both my kids, loaded them up in my car, and drove around for the next like 4 hours waiting for Sierra to get off work so I could pick her up.
No, it's...
Like, it scared me so fucking much.
It's
and then I
this.
Refused to go down his dark-ass hallway of that little single-wide trailer. His hallway was so dark, and all I could see was just, like, just the white face. I was just like, nope, fuck that. I'm not taking a shower today. I can wait till daytime.
No, it's... That movie unsettled
me. And I was, like, 23.
Because there's no fucking background music. There's nobody in the, you know, behind,
right.
You know, around the corner playing the violin.
That's the appeal with the found footage.
Or you don't hear the theremin or anything. And that entire movie, you hear all the creaks and just, it's this just big psychological blow to the fucking psyche.
It's pretty much what Hollywood would do to found footage.
Yeah.
If they try to remake a found footage, but someone like already jumped the gun and made it amazing.
Like, right. That fucking movie put me on edge again, but now I'm waiting for the next one. I have no idea what the next one is.
Honestly, I'm fine if there isn't a next one.
No, it puts me on edge? No, fuck that.
No,
I live for that rush.
Film, not another edition of Grave Encounters.
But that's what I like about it. It puts you on edge for the next one, but knowing it's never going to happen. It's that fear of not knowing what the fuck is going to happen.
No, see, that's the good thing, is that I love it when I get too desensitized. like to watching fucking horror movie. So when it does get me, and eventually it will, I'm going to question why it got me.
Yeah.
Like, what moment unsettled me the fucking most, and where is that going?
And that's where you start watching it and start scaring the fuck out of yourself for a month straight.
So, I'm not ashamed to say that when I watch a horror movie, I'm very in control of my own dreams when they happen. So, scary dreams, if they happen, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to kick you in your balls, and it's going to kill you, because this is my dream, and I got to be here, too. So, that's pretty much mentality sleeping. I'll never get rest.
I don't have that much control.
You're just fucking hallucinating.
Realistic, yeah, pretty much.
I only have enough control to like barely stay within fingertips length.
Sometimes things like
constant paranoid.
See, the woods is a very unnerving place to be at night. Anyways, anybody will tell you that. Mm-hmm. So any movie that I've seen involving like being in the woods, Blair Witch, I saw it when I was young, and I'm not even gonna lie. Yeah, fuck that. I didn't want to go to the woods. I didn't want to go near anywhere. I was like, oh my god, no, the Blair Witch is out here. But I never freaked out too bad. I never freak out too bad as an adult. I pretty much expect to like look out my little peephole and see zombies and be like, oh yeah, cha-ching, let's fucking do it, baby. I've been waiting. But I do have a story about my dad. So, him and my mom lived at Country Club. Anybody ever been out to those apartments?
Yep.
Yeah. You know how they're set up when you go up them stairs? They got that little, like, little hollow space go all the way down?
Uh-huh.
Well, my parents lived on the second floor, and apparently they watched Salem's Lot one night. And this was before I was born.
Love that movie.
My fucking dad jumped up out of bed from a nightmare, ran out of the fucking apartment, jumped over that railing, got in his little fucking 69 Volkswagen, his tiny whiteys, and took the fuck off. And I'm like, I'm sitting here, my dad's telling me this, and I'm like, what had you so scared about that movie? Because it really, I mean, okay, at the time, His little mind probably couldn't wrap his head around never seeing anything like that, but like in our generation we're so used to these different horror movies we've become numb to it. Now it has become entertainment. That if we ran into it in real life, it'd be like, you know what? Oh, I'm so glad it was right. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna have a documentary made about me. But for real, B-class horror movies are kind of where it's at, because even, Salem's Lot would have been one of them B-class horror movies.
Oh, I had to sneak watching Salem's Lot, because my dad said it was too scary for me to
watch. See, now that's the fucking weird thing with, like, how I grew up. Like, my dad made me watch Salem's Lot. He's like, no. Like, and the next movie we're going to watch is Serpent and the Rainbow.
Love Serpent and the Rainbow. I do, too.
Oh, my God. Love that movie
I got
so
that Clive
much.
Barker 3-pack. It's got Shocker, which is a real fucking amazing one. Wasn't Ethan Hawke in that one, too?
Yep.
Yeah. And then Serpent and the Rainbow, and then the people underneath the stairs.
Yeah.
That one has to be one of my favorites, and it's not even because it's anything supernatural.
Do you
just
like Nightbreed?
I love Nightbreed.
Dude, Nightbreed's so fucking good.
The people underneath the stairs, the weird incest husband and wife, the kidnapped kids, and the people that they kidnapped and the kids that they had just let live down there. Dude, that's psychologically fucking crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Like, what if that actually exists?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Another good one, and it's more, I guess, psychological and horror, but I guess you could put that in there with horror, but Summer of Sam, the Spike Lee movie.
Yeah!
That Spike Lee joint, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it has John Leguizamo in it, and it's about the Son of Sam killer and, like, different things that were going on. It told its own fucking story, which was fucking amazing and raw, because they got everything down to a point, like, living in that area at that time.
Yeah,
and
the
paranoia of, you know, going out of your fucking house and getting shot.
And they blamed it on that fucking punk rock Vietnam vet. Wasn't he played like by fucking Adrian Brody or some
shit? Yes, that was a really good role he played in. Yeah.
Yeah, they all blamed it on him, said, oh, he's the son of Sam, and fucking went and killed him, and right as they killed him, you know, fucking Berkowitz
was
caught.
They didn't kill him.
Well, no, they beat his ass.
They beat his ass, and then his stepdad come out and, like, shot a gun in the air, and he told him, like, you know, hey, you know, he ain't the son of Sam. They caught his ass already. It's all over the news, you know. That was a really good movie, because, you know, that very well could have been, like, a true testimony of a dispatcher for the police in that area that night, is that a bunch of people cornered somebody they thought was the son of Sam and were beating his ass, all while the real son of Sam was being apprehended.
Yeah, there's a lot of good B-movies like that that get slept on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, and this is where we're going to take a quick commercial break. Hey, this is DJ, the host of The Slab.
And this is Chris, I'm the co-host of The Slab.
And do you see a tattoo in your future?
I know I do.
Then we definitely need to go to Tarot Tattoo, located right here in Richmond, Indiana. 711 South 9th Street, to be exact. Area code 47374. We'd like to start off by saying that we are in no way, shape, or sponsored by Tarot Tattoo.
Yeah, we are not getting any money from them at all for doing this.
This is a female-ran business, and these women are just an absolute delight to be around.
Oh, definitely.
They're funny, they're in your face, they're very forward-thinking, they're very accepting of absolutely everybody. So this is the place to go, especially just for the good vibes. Decent prices, you can definitely check out their link to their Facebook and to their website and the description of this podcast going forward.
Bobby, who is here with us a lot, actually just recently got a tattoo from there from one of the artists, and it is fucking amazing.
It absolutely looks great.
The line work is some of the cleanest line work I've seen in a while around here.
So remember, that's Tarot Tattoo in Richmond, Indiana, 47374, 711 South 9th Street. Remember to turn on G and park in the back. And we're back. We literally just sat there for over a fucking minute not saying a damn thing.
I didn't know if we was allowed to talk or not. So I was going to sit here and shut the fuck up for a minute.
Commercial break. That was the most unrelaxed commercial break I've ever had.
Oh my God, man. I mean, this is just tense. Like, it just got tense in here all of a sudden.
Wait, I didn't know if we were about to fuck or fuck.
That was about the same tenseness of trying to use the bathroom, refill your drink, and get a new snack all within a minute and 30 before the show came back on.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
It's back on, you butt licker.
Have you ever gone running through the kitchen and then you just throw the bag of chips at whoever is sitting at the couch?
Oh,
and then head dive over the top of the couch.
Okay, so my favorite story of that.
Everybody's like, damn, it was not that bad.
My favorite story of that was my dad took me, and this is a very vivid memory. My dad took me to Burger King, and it was the first time I
repressed childhood trauma, everybody.
And it was the first time I didn't get a kid's meal. It was like my step into adulthood kind of thing.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so I had the big boy, like, big fucking Whopper and shit.
Oh, so this was a happy day.
And I remember he bought me that and a bag of popcorn because I was so excited over a fucking movie. It was a made-for-TV Nickelodeon movie. And it starred Kanan and Kel, called Two Heads Are Better Than None.
I was a big fan of Kanan and Kel.
Me too.
I love
never
them.
Even heard of that one.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, the two-part episode?
Yeah.
That
uh-huh. Yeah, and they played it all in one reel and made it an actual movie.
At the end of it, that guy's head sitting there, he's like, hello?
Yeah.
My nose, Richard!
Yeah. Like, it's a kid's B-movie, but it's still,
oh,
like,
no, it's locked. What, the door? No, the sandwich.
But I remember sitting in my room on the floor, cross-legged, watching this fucking movie, and every time a commercial break would happen, I would sit there and eat fries and shit. because I didn't want to look away from the fucking movie. I remember I was like, I have to go pee real quick, and you know, this is obviously before the days of fucking, you know, TiVo and just streaming services. Yeah, I can't just pause that motherfucker. I gotta wait for a Claritin commercial to come on so I can go take a pee pee. So
let's just hope it's one of those rare occasions they play a full length fucking official trailer for a movie.
Yeah.
Buys you an extra 2 minutes, 30 seconds. That's enough time to get you a microwave snack. If you're lucky.
No, I had Burger King and a big ass bag of popcorn. So like, like I'm sorry, but movie nights like that are the absolute fucking best. When you know you're just going to get engulfed in any fucking movie, whether or not you pick it out or not. And 9 times out of 10, it's usually a B-movie if you haven't picked it out yet.
Yeah.
And then B-movies bring you that nostalgia of sitting down at 2 o'clock in the morning and, you know, your dad's asleep, or, you know, you're staying
quietly
at your friend's
flipping
house.
Through the channels, hoping your dad doesn't fucking wake up.
And then you just land on just these shitty late night fucking B movies that are just amazing that you don't see throughout the day, like that. And I just remember being in the glow of the TV at night and watching Puppet Master and shit, and just like, and to me that's just so fucking nostalgic, like just big ass bowl of snacks and watching a fucking movie.
See,
I think
of going to a Family Video.
Yeah.
And Movie Gallery. Specifically Movie Gallery. Because they had the shittiest horror movies ever. But we were allowed to get them, and we were little, like, 5-6-year-old boys. So, of course, we were going to get shitty-ass horror movies.
And see, that's what's fucked up, because I think my parents were just raising me differently just to see how I would turn out. Because my dad and mom both would be like, hey, like, I was terrified of the fucking Wolfman. Like, that was the first horror movie I've ever seen, was Lon Chaney Jr., you know, portraying as the Wolfman. And that fucking movie got me so bad, it put that lasting impression on me. That's why I love werewolves now. But
I used to be terrified of Freddy Krueger.
Well, see, and that, I think that's what forged me in fire, because then, like, after that, like, it was like Serpent in the Rainbow, and now we're gonna watch Salem's Lot, and like my dad watched so many horror movies that I had no choice but to sit down and watch them with him. Like, he's making me watch heavy metal and heavy metal 2000, a lot of these adult rated shit that a like 7-year old should probably not be subjected to, but fuck it, YOLO. So,
have you ever...
So, like, when I got to watch Freddy Krueger and all that, like, when I was, like, 9 or 10 years old, I got to watch it with my fucking cousin. And she's just like, oh, I hope your parents, you know, let you watch, you know, Dream Warriors, blah, blah, blah. I'd never seen the movie, but I was just enamored and in love with it. And she's over there hiding her eyes through all the kills and shit. And I'm like, and I'm just staring at the screen. She goes, You were scared when you watched that movie. I was like, the fuck I was, but that was a great film. You got another one. She's like, don't tell your parents I let you watch this. I was like, they're going to be mad that they didn't see it too. All right? Like,
have you ever seen a movie called Bad Taste? It's about this...
it doesn't sound like it was in good taste.
It's about this alien... fast food alien
restaurant. Fast food. So I thought you were like, this fat alien. I was like, Jabba the Hutt?
It's about this fast food restaurant that's ran by aliens, and they kill people in town and use their meat to serve the food with. Like, very
like
stereotypical.
Yeah. That sounds like the
it's
perfect
very stereotypical,
movie.
But it is.
That's been done before. Aliens cooking people for burgers. Like, what's the fucking logic in that? Like, no, it's not. That's an original premise, and now I really want to see that movie.
It's on Tubi.
Of course it is.
It's called Bad Taste.
So, have you guys seen the movie Dylan Dog?
Yes.
Dude, that's a fucking amazing one. That would be considered a B-class, too.
Oh, yeah.
And that one was done very amazingly. I love anything to do with, like, New Orleans and shit like that. Because there's always a supernatural aspect about that place.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, Hatchet. Hatchet's definitely a B-movie.
Yeah.
And that was in New Orleans. And, we can all agree that Victor Crowley is definitely a, you know, big time slasher. He's in big boy pants.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
But is he in slacks?
Get the fuck out.
I ain't got much to say anyways. Bye, guys.
He says, I was waiting to say it, and I said it. I'm done.
I came. I mic dropped. I came again. Bye. God, I'm just going to call this episode fucking Gone Sexual.
Gone with the Sexuals.
That's another thing about B-class movies, man. Overly sexual.
Yeah.
There's no people walking the world that's that horny.
Frankenhooker.
Me and Bobby got our hands up. So.
It was like, oh my God, I'm so horny. We should do it right here in this meat locker. Like, yes. What? Like, you know there's a fucking bed right over there, right? Like, a warm one? I want to fuck you on a side of beef. I might end up fucking the side of beef.
I want to fuck you in this dark, cold meat locker with hooks hanging from the ceiling. Yeah.
You know what? Are you kink shaming right
we're
now?
We're just
going kink shaming is my kink.
That was a very hey you guys.
Hey, the Goonies was a fucking B movie, but
Goonies
I love it.
That,
yeah, but I love it. It's not a horror movie. It's definitely an adventure movie, but I fucking love the Goonies.
A Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
Yeah. Wow.
Fucking amazing. It has that whole slow-mo to the fucking Soulja Boy song with just these big zombified boobies shaking back and forth. I'm like, well, there you go. That's what's going to get everybody watching right there. Like, that and watching the old man get his fucking dick ripped off. The old man zombie.
I completely forgot that was a movie. Like, I remember the book.
Oh, no. The movie was amazing. I never read the book. I never read any of the books that are movies.
Another good B-class starring Robert Englund, 2001 Maniac.
Oh, I love that movie so
much. I forgot about it until I was looking them up, and I was like...
The scene where he gets his fucking eye patch ripped off and a bunch of maggots start spilling out.
The drawn and quartered scene with the horses. That was fucking done very well.
There was one joke in that movie that I love to this day.
Is that a Chinaman? China woman. And a Negro to boot.
No, not that one.
He said that.
He did. But he displays the feast on a table.
Yeah.
He's like, ooh, I love Chinese, but I'm still going to be hungry in an hour. Southern white racism. It shouldn't be funny, but it was.
It was.
I think it's because it was Robert Englund.
It's because it's Robert. And that fucking... People with the banjo following them around, just like, trouble came a-knockin'. Like, it wasn't that fourth wall breaking. Like, that was a canon part of that script. Like, those are just, that's literally happening right then and there. They're not in the background. They're not in a hallucination. It's just two fucking rednecks following these teens with the banjo and singing about their imminent demise. Wow.
So, we've been talking about B-movies, and...
Have to breathe after that.
Horror adjacent, but we haven't said anything about Deathgasm. I know it's been mentioned on here before.
We can all agree that Deathgasm is a fantastic one.
It is
fucking amazing.
where else
killing
are
them motherfuckers with a dildo?
Where else are you going to see heavy metal motherfuckers?
That's
killing
down in New Zealand. Killing demons with anal beads
and vibrators.
Oh.
You're not going to see that anywhere else.
It was just so awesome.
And then the one guy getting all pissed off because they chopped the dude's head off on that real expensive rug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't do it again.
That was a statutory rug. Do it again. I missed it.
You put the top down first.
Fuck, man.
I love that movie.
So, I mean, do you guys want to go ahead and do some more bashing on some horrible ones now?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, so.
We've sang enough praises. Let's go back to our normal jobs of hate.
There's been so many, like, American Poltergeist movies. If you look on, like, Tubi.
Oh, my God.
There's, like, eight of them, and they all have the same name. And I'm like, is it the same story or is it different stories? I've only watched a couple of them, and I was like, man, this is all.
To me, it's all just the same fucking story, just different timelines.
Yeah.
Maybe a different family member, but at least they keep it in the family.
Yeah. A good found footage B-class horror movie. The Bell Witch Haunting.
Yeah, the Haunting of the Bell Witch, or...
What, however they worded
that
one.
Yeah, yeah.
They had, like, the police footage and shit like that, and it had them filming it, and...
That was a real good one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was a very impressive movie. There's been another one called, I think it's called The Monster Project. Did you watch that one? It had the real-life vampire lady... And then that Native American tribal chief, he was like a tribal policeman that was a werewolf.
I know what you're talking about, though.
And then this little Asian girl that was possessed by one of those, like, fucked up, like, Asian white demon face, long black hair type ghosts. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, like the Samara ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you haven't seen The Monster Project, definitely check that one out. Okay. It's on Shudder, I do believe, or it's on Tubi, one or two. But
it's kind of
found footage, but it's more done like a documentary. Like, these guys put an ad out on a Craigslist or whatever, mm-hmm. and said, "We want real monsters. We want a real ghost and a real werewolf, whatever." They don't think they put specifics that they want real monsters. So these three showed up, and it was a legit vampire lady. Very hot, by the way. tons of tattoos. My kind of lady that would break my heart in an hour, and I'd be
a
different
with
person
it.
Afterwards, probably. But then, like I said, the Native American indigenous person. I'd try not to say it too much.
The original
that was a werewolf,
man.
Which I guess, sticking to some legends, that would adhere better, and I would rather see it done by someone of that culture, I guess you'd say, than see it done by a white person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying there?
Like, yeah.
They
no.
Have that,
yeah.
They have that in their legends and stuff about, you know, men shape shifting into dog creatures.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
So I guess I would rather see it done by something.
Well,
more
doesn't
authentic.
Skinwalkers yes. originate from Native American
yep.
folklore?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And the rake.
Definitely. So yeah, I could definitely see.
You talking about skinwalkers? We'll bring skinwalkers. So you just fucked us on some skinwalkers.
Oh, I'm gonna get me some of that skinwalker bussy.
I got my
bussy.
I got my tray 5-7. I ain't tripping.
I got them 11 herbs and spices. If anybody likes their skin extra crispy.
You got a pretty deer bone there.
Oh, you know. Did anybody watch Antlers?
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
Yeah.
I still
that?
Have not
it
seen it.
It was not bad. I liked it.
That Guillermo del Toro, right?
Yeah.
See, everything he does just impresses me because it's so dark and so realistic. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything
that
has a real feel to it. Like,
okay, so Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo, yes.
Guillermo.
Guillermo.
I ain't even going to take a crack at that. I'm
Guillermo.
I'm an ignorant. I'm an ignorant Midwestern man.
Guillermo.
I try to say things right, but yeah, go ahead.
Guillermo del Toro.
He's all of his fucking movies that he makes, like specifically even his scarier, like horror based movies,
yeah,
are beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Oh, definitely.
They're the best that you can watch. They have that certain thing with them. It's like fucking. God, what was that?
The best movie
Grinding
reference
Nemo. What was
is...
the name of that movie?
Oh, fuck.
Shape of Water.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Grinding Nemo. Yeah.
Oh, I love that fucking movie.
Yeah, but that was it won the Oscars, just all of them. Like, in Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, I was just about to reference that.
Bobby's over there doing the clamshell opening and... And the peony raising.
Did he do The City of Lost Children with Ron Perlman? Was that who made that movie?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
You guys keep talking. I want to look that up real quick.
Okay, we got to keep talking. So, Chris, how's
didn't
the penis?
Guillermo del Toro have a hand in the second Hellboy?
Yeah, he...
I think in both of them.
Yeah, he made both of the good Hellboys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not this latest
one,
which was a
Perlman.
Horrendous piece of shit.
Are you sure he didn't make this recent one? I know he made the first two. Are you sure he didn't make it again?
No. That was
because I just know during the second one where they go into that cave. Like I saw the.
Oh, the gatekeeper.
Yeah, the gatekeeper. I saw that. And I was like, yeah, that's the Pan's Labyrinth.
That's some rip off
right there.
No, I was mistaken. La Cité des Enfants Perdus, the City of Lost Children. It was a French horror like sci-fi movie.
I know what you're talking about, kind of.
Okay, so what's your take on like B-rated stupid background movie, like the Ginger Death Man? Or Pinocchio, he's out for revenge.
So just dumb shit
like,
in
general? Yeah, like Evil Bong, Poltergeist.
You know what? Yeah. You don't make fun of Evil Bong, okay?
Thanksgiving, yeah.
Evil Bong is a cinematic masterpiece and should be recognized as such for its many contributions to film.
What contributions?
Yes.
They didn't contribute shit.
It contributed.
They brought the weed.
It contributed it a good ass time. All right.
Not really though.
I like the Evil Bong.
Although
Bongs.
Tommy Chong was an Evil Bong, and I love that rhymes.
What, Tommy Chong was an Evil Bong?
Did you know that there's a fucking B-rated horror movie of Ron Jeremy's penis?
Yes.
Yeah. Where his dick is separated from his body and now it's running around killing people.
I don't know if I'd be entertained by it or not. Nothing weird or something, but I just don't think it'd be my kind of movie.
DJ, that just unlocked a memory in my brains. We talked about killer it dick? Like a week ago. No, Ron Jeremy and horror.
Oh.
What was that one I can never remember the name? Wore the welding helmet, had all the butcher knives.
I
know we had talked about it before.
Yeah. Andre the Butcher?
Yes. That was one of my favorite, shittiest horror movies ever. It looked like something we would have made.
I love your confidence in us, Bob. Jesus.
Hey, he's saying we're as good as a porn star.
I'm like stuck in the chair. I wish I was wearing pants.
Okay, Bob is wearing a kilt. I want to make that perfectly fucking clear.
It is a sexy kilt. It suits you well. You're a rugged man in a kilt.
We're just not having a naked podcast right now.
I was outside on the
we
phone.
Yes.
For legal reasons.
I was outside on the phone, and he creeps up by me, and he's like, hey, look. And he lifts up his kilt, and I couldn't tell if he was wearing anything. He's got these yellow underwear on.
They're orange.
So it pretty much blended in with his legs. Not saying your legs are orange, but it was dark out there. So I could have been seeing wiener. I wasn't sure.
The tanning bed a little bit.
I mean,
trying to get that tan. Kind of look tan ever.
You know what? You know what? Peter Griffin
like lift up your stomach a little bit.
You're like, you know what? Peter Griffin looks like naked. That's not how I imagine Bobby. Not gonna lie.
You've seen it in person. And on video.
I have played with your testicles in a hot garage.
It was very orgasmic. For me, at least.
And the weird part is that's the same night that Candy got drunk.
And I caught myself on fire that night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I caught myself on fire, too.
I did some pretty cool, like, fire-breathing shit in the rain. It was very spiritual.
Yeah.
Oh,
I bet it was.
Speaking of
spiritual. Getting your face caught on fire.
I saw Satan and he was smiling. But actually, I know this isn't considered B-rated at all, but you said spiritual. I definitely suggest watching The Prey.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I love that movie.
That's very good.
I love the feral predator. I'm not going to lie. Like, at first, I'm like, he's a little weird looking. But I kept on watching it. And how he's built, like, you know, and it gets into that lore of how many different style predators there are.
Yeah.
One for each biome. One's a desert, one's a jungle. Of course they're going to be built different.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
egg drop. Pulled different.
But what about the ones that were also made for the Arctic?
Yeah, that was a good one.
I just watched a review talking about the different kinds of predators.
Yeah.
And they only mentioned the two.
As I said, there's also the ones in the Arctic. There's also ones like... Yeah, like, no, they were everywhere.
No, on their planet.
Oh, there were two biomes.
So you get the classic-looking predator that's in all the other ones, and then you get the newest one, the primal predator, or feral, whatever.
Which, it still looked baller, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and just, like, that fucking skull helmet that he had was just...
Yes.
Ah, I loved it. I was like, okay.
I like
this movie a hell of a lot more.
I like
more.
How they Daddy. Showed how he hunted.
Yeah.
Like, it showed, like, his decision making about...
What's the most dangerous fucking
the most dangerous... What's the biggest threat to...
Me. Yeah.
To myself and also to the ultimate prey.
Basically.
Like this is the ultimate goal, so... It showed, like, his thought process behind taking out what could take out his shit before
now,
he could.
Now, like, on a real note, though, it did copy, you know, the original Predator.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know, what, with the, you know, covering in the mud and, you know, lighting the fire everywhere. You know, it did copy it in that aspect, but I love the spin that they always had on it, where it wasn't just like, she didn't try to fight him man-to-man. Until the very fucking end when she knew she could.
Yeah.
And that was a damn good fight scene. Like, that was well choreographed. It kept my attention the entire time. And I love how she killed the predator.
Well, that's what a hunter would do.
Yeah.
Especially one that was hunting something else, like a predator that's hunting other things, especially them.
Right.
You'd wear it down over time, try to evade it the best you could. Learn what you could, and then finally, when you're able to fucking debilitate it, take a strike.
Uh huh.
That was a very, and it showed it really shows the raw primal aspect of hunting.
Right.
If you really want to have any kind of like notoriety for hunting, you want to hunt something that's gonna like if you fuck up, it's gonna kill you.
Yeah,
and that's exactly was the whole drive of that girl's story, is that she wanted to hunt something really dangerous.
She was trying to prove that.
Yeah.
That she could hunt.
Exactly.
But just I like the way that in that movie, the way the predator was fucking slicing the animals down.
Yeah.
That
you
was
know,
nice.
I want to see a Predator win. Like, not like in like Alien vs. Predator, but like a Predator movie where nobody survives except for the fucking Predator.
So, I'm so glad you brought up Alien vs. Predator. I tried to rewatch that after a few years. Mm-hmm. It was just a priest fighting a gardener, and I was like, what the hell? This isn't what I remember.
Damn.
Why are you going to make me edit?
I didn't even think
Why are you going to make... Oh, you didn't even think about it.
Dude, I've been barely thinking all night. It feels like I've been blacking out and just coming to 5 minutes later, not knowing what's going on.
I really wouldn't freak out too much about it because it was an Adam Sandler movie. So...
Yeah?
I wouldn't freak out too bad about it. I mean, it's in a Jim Carrey movie, too. So, I think we'll let that one slide today.
But no, I'd like to see a Predator movie where Predator wins. Like, nobody survives.
That would be nice.
Like, get a fair fight going, absolutely. But I want to see the Predator win.
Maybe, like... We'll see, it wouldn't be Predator style just to send the Predator after a bunch of, like, spoiled, entitled college kids and let them just rip them to shreds, though entertaining.
No, legit, though, the Predators do have a code of conduct. code of conduct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a hunter.
They're hunters, but they only go after what they see as either a threat to them or a worthy fight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like in AVP, when he scans the old man who got the thing going, yeah, and he saw the heart condition.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he let him go.
And it's like, yeah, he let the lady go from number two because she was pregnant.
Yeah, yep. It's the whole easy kill is
not
is a like, coward kill.
Well, you don't kill anything that's pregnant. I mean, there's no point in doing that because it's just more prey for you and for the future. You track that one till you know it gives birth, and then put a tag on the child if it's a male. Like, hey, I'm gonna hunt this thing for until its lifespan.
I mean, that was the whole premise of Alien versus Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the predators were breeding these aliens and then just sending them off to random ass planets just to be hunted.
Yeah,
and honestly,
no, the pyramid in AVP was a training for the predators.
Yeah.
They had whole other planets for just hunting shit.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. They bred the aliens just for hunting.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen a bad Predator movie.
Me neither.
Like, not a true... I've seen a truly bad Alien movie.
I've never been the biggest fan Prometheus. Of the Alien movies.
Man, I'm telling you what. I like Prometheus now. Where it explains... that the xenomorphs and their little egg spiders, they had to be bred down by these other beings to be able to be more adaptable to humans.
Yeah, to the engineers.
Because I think eventually what you're going to find out is that the beings in Prometheus, the bald, white, muscular, big ding-dong fellas, they were basically like the humans are in the Predator movie, and they had some debt to pay to the Predators, you know, with the vagina mouths, right?
Yeah.
So they started breeding xenomorphs, and then those Predators would hunt those xenomorphs that you see at the end of Prometheus. I don't know if that's any fan fiction that somebody's wrote, but that makes sense to me that they were trying to adapt to those little spider things so they would be more fit for humans so they could try to get a way to get humans to be the next breeding machine for their xenomorph hunt.
And, you know,
something
just fucking popped into my head.
What's that?
Okay, so every Alien movie is set in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So... supposedly, the first encounter with xenomorphs for humans didn't happen in that timeline until like 100 years from now.
Yeah.
Okay, but wrap your mind around this. Like, we're going to put this in a timeline here. Predators, we knew about.
Yes.
Right.
Like, it has been like, hey, there is a predator. Like, we knew about it all the way up. All the way through, like, everything. Now, when it gets to Alien versus Predator, they've known about the Predator's existence, but they did not know about the alien existence.
Mm-hmm.
That one living scientist, what makes you think she did not document that type of alien being on that fucking Earth?
Yeah.
And how the hell did they not carry that vital information forward in fucking time?
Right.
So that's what I'm like, there's a time error right there, because... if that's our first look at the xenomorphs as technically Alien versus Predator, then they should have known what kind of aliens were out there just from that one lady studying it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They did try to pull a few of the stories together with the Predators, or is it Predator movie, that had like the Super Predator in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They tried to pull a lot of the stories together with that one, which was, I really like that one. Only because it showed the big giant predator, which I want to know where that comes into play with the lore.
Oh, the Goliath, like the gladiator predators?
Yes. And then the human adaptable predator, the anti-predator suit that they show at the end. I want to see a movie about that.
And you know, that movie got fucking bombed.
right?
Like, but oh, it sucked. I'm like, no, it didn't suck. It was a Predator movie.
It was a good fucking movie.
Like, it was a good movie. Like, yeah, there was contextual fucking problems, but good God. Look how many times they've rewrote that movie. Yeah, right. It's going to have them.
What was the one about the... Okay, so that was Alien versus Predator 2, where it's in that small town.
Yeah, the Requiem, yeah.
Okay, Requiem, yeah. That one was a really good one. That one had a really, like, weird part in it where that Predator Xenomorph hybrid jammed its fucking tongue down that pregnant lady's throat and put eggs in there. So you know that them little baby Xenomorphs were
eating that baby. Yeah.
It was very weird to watch that. That was a good movie, though. I'm not sure if we'd say it's B-class, but that was a pretty good movie.
Oh, no, it was pretty B-class because it had a very limited release.
It was in theaters, though.
Not very much long, though. No. Not as long as Alien vs. Predator 1 was.
I'm going to have to watch that when I get home tonight.
All right, well, in that case, guys, we're going to go ahead and end the podcast here. I'm DJ.
I'm Josh. Bye.
I'm Bobby. Adios.
I'm Chris.
He's Chris. Bye!